As I greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Are you happy this evening?
Amen.
Let's turn to the scriptures and redeeming time in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We can read it together. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Amen. No evolution.
Amen.
Evolution is of the devil.
Amen.
Amen. Actually, it is the dumbest religion. For a lack of a better word. Amen. But it will show you why we say so. Verse 2. And the earth was without form.
And the earth was without form.
And void.
And void.
And the darkness was upon the face of the deep.
And the darkness was upon the face of the deep.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light.
And God said, let there be light.
And there was light.
And there was light.
If we can just read Exodus before I allow you to sit. Exodus 20, verse 11. And God, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth.
For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth.
The sea.
And
all that in them is.
And all that in them is.
And rested the seventh day.
And rested the seventh day.
Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day.
Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day.
And hallowed it. As we bow our heads, gracious Heavenly Father, you are the source of life, the creator of the universe. No one brought the universe into existence except your word. And that is why, especially in this modern age, where there are modern beliefs, we will always revert back to the word of God. Because I believe that for every question in life, the Bible has an answer to it. And that is why this tonight we can approach you with confidence, because we see you in your word. Lord, we appreciate you for you preserving us in the manner that you preserved us. You are such a good God and we love and adore you. There is no God like you. There is no Savior like you. When you save, you save to the uttermost. When you heal to the uttermost. And this evening is no different. You are going to bless us to the uttermost. And for every question that may be in the building, may you provide a scriptural answer. As we commit everything to you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
While you take your seats for a couple of minutes. Amen. Just a couple of minutes, I want us to speak on. Did we have a good time speaking on prayer on Sunday?
Amen.
Amen. Did you see the value of prayer?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Spend time in prayer. You'll see God will do so much for you in public. Amen. Prayer is the greatest force that God has ever granted to the human race.
Yes, sir.
It can reverse things. It can change the course of events. That's prayer. If you need something from the Lord, speak to Him in prayer. And I think on Sunday we have shown you how to approach Him in prayer. Amen. I believe that every one of us, if we can just get our prayer life intact, we will have our own revival in our midst. How many believe that?
Amen.
The sick will get healed. The brokenhearted will be healed. The lost will be found. There's so much that God can do when believers are united in prayer. Amen. We appreciate the Lord. I want to speak on being on the edge of eternity. Being on the edge of eternity. That's what I want to speak on. Brother Brem says we have had great men in history. He says Moses had desired to live in our day. He says all great men, Moses, Joshua, Isaiah, all of them desired to live in our day. So that means there must be something special about our day that made them to look forward to live in our day. Are we together? Isn't such an ironic thing that they looked forward to live in our day and we are looking back and we wish we could have lived in their day? Amen. That means there is something that we are missing that they saw in the end time. But by God's grace, I hope and believe that God will open our eyes to see that we are living in one of the grandest ages. Brother Abraham said it is the grandest age because it is the ending of time and the ushering of eternity. But in the same vein, he says it is one of the most evil age. He says the enemy has come in the name of the church. He says that in the message, how can I overcome? Are we together? But we believe that this is the age of overcomers. Amen. There has never been an overcomer without a battle. Now, I said evolution is of the devil. I believe that. Now, Brother Branham, or the scripture opens, Genesis 1 opens with this phrase. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And right there, you can break it down because when it says in the beginning, it is acknowledging the time dispensation. That is the beginning of time. Are you still with me? I know a lot of people, they think that time started in Genesis 3 when a man fell. But that is not the case. Brother Branham says in the beginning, it speaks about the beginning of time. Why am I saying that? Because he says everything created has a beginning and shall have an end. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Are we together? So God created in the beginning, which means time. God created the heaven, which is space, and the earth, which is the matter. And the earth was without form and void. And now when you go and check and study the Bible or even the message, Brother Rome says there was an interval between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Between verse 1 and verse 2, there is an interval because God cannot create anything that is imperfect. Are you with me? He cannot create something that is without form, that is void. Brother Mum says, right today, there is an interval. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, then we see velocity, those that are scientifically inclined. Upon the face of the earth, God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And you would understand that the light spoken about here is not referring to the sun. Hallelujah. It is not referring to the sun. This light will show you what the prophet messenger says about it. But let me come to and deal with the matter of evolution, because our kids are being indoctrinated with this thing of evolution. The reason I say evolution is false, and not only false, but dumb, is because when you look at evolution, dogs have always produced dogs. And dogs are still producing dogs. Are you with me? And the farmers, they know, because they operate on that principle of let everything bring forth of its own kind. When a farmer plants corn, what does the farmer expect? Corn. We have never seen a farmer planting corn and corn morphing into something else. When you plant corn, you reap corn. Are we together? Nothing has ever changed. That is why we say, when you look at the principle of evolution, if they say a human being evolved from an ape, what is happening? Because we still have chimpanzees and as well as monkeys. Why evolution is not continuing? Are you with me? But the evolution, it is against the very existence of God. Are you with me? It is actually men of twisted mind that would want to convince our young ones that there is no God. But you and I, we know that there is God. And afterlife, there is an appointment for every individual to meet that God and be held accountable on how they have lived their life. And actually, we can prove to the world that there is God. How can we prove to the world there is God? He lives in our hearts. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. What better evidence can I give you except to say, I was a sinner saved by grace. What the world struggles with, I'm not struggling with that. It's not because I'm clever, it's because of the grace of God. The very life that was in Jesus is now in the heart of the believer. That is the evidence that Jesus died and rose again. Are you with me? Among all the scientists that we've ever had, not even one of them ever produced the plant. None of them. You can go and check Einstein, Isaac Newton. None of them even created just a plant. Why? And Einstein, we'll get into these things because Einstein speaks something here that will quote him. Actually, his brother Branham quoting Einstein. Amen. Now, let's recap and let's go and check what is eternity. Eternity goes beyond the limits of time. And God is unlimited, but everything else is limited. You and I, we are the creatures of eternity, trapped into time. But when time ends, we are getting ushered back into eternity. That's why the brother prayed and said, there is a land where we'll never grow old. And right here in the end time, you and I are standing right on the edge where we are about to be ushered into eternity. What makes you uncomfortable and desire to live long is because God has put an appetite of eternal life in you. And if there is an appetite for eternal life, there must be eternal life somewhere to quench that desire. How many believe that there is eternal life? The life of God. Are you still with me? Now, heaven is eternal. Hell is forever and ever. These are the basics. And it's quite amazing that when you preach without the prophet, you can create so much mess. You can think that you are making sense and only to realize that you are not making sense. Are you with me? Because when we say people are going to burn in hell forever and ever, a lot of people thought it is eternal. There is only one form of eternal life. It is God. You cannot have eternal life without having God. And therefore, if one was to burn in hell eternally, that means it has to be a form of God burning eternally. It makes no sense. But later we realize that when it says forever and ever, it is referring to a space of time. That is why when you find your loved one, your wife or a dear husband, you tell them that forever will be. But at some point in time, you know that until death do you apart. What is happening? By forever, you are trying to emphasize that it will be a prolonged period of time. But at some point in time, no matter how much it is prolonged, it is going to come to an end. Hell has a beginning and hell shall have an end. There is going to be what we call a total annihilation. Are we together? Where unbelievers will just totally, return back to atoms and molecules and not never to be found ever again. But the children of God are promised eternal life. There is eternal life. I believe that beyond a shadow of time. Why do I believe that? I can prove it to you. We are told by science that Time is relative. By relative, it means it depends where you are. They actually have made a study and they found that the people that stay on the top of the mountains, time goes faster to them than the people that reside by the sea. It has been proven by science. Furthermore, they say if you have twin, and one twin goes into space, and maybe she's on an spacecraft, and she's moving around the globe, and another twin remains on Earth, and says, later, when you reunite them, the twin that is in space will be looking much younger than the one that was here. If space can do that, what more about eternity? Yes, go and check it. Go and check it. You go and check it and punch it on your Google, because Google is the absolute of certain people there. It will tell you that the astronauts, there's what they call time dilation. They say there's a gravitational time dilation. That means when we are here, we are confined to the rotation of the Earth here. And however, but when you leave, you're no longer subject to that. That's why you look younger. Brother Bram say, Einstein, this is what Brother Bram quotes. He says, Einstein said, if you leave the earth at a speed of lightning, how, what is it? Are there science people in the building? Are there science people in the building? What is the speed of the light? Shall I get a help? What is the speed of the light? No, science people have gone missing. Now, you know, Brother Branham was asking what is the speed of the light. Another brother responded. And I went and said, hey, this brother responded to the prophet while he's preaching. I went to check it. I realized that he was actually spot on. The speed of a light is 186,000 miles per second. If you want to convert it into kilometers, because it is in miles, it is 299,792 kilometers. It says, when you leave, this is what I'm going to read verbatim. Einstein said, this is in the message. You still love the prophet in this place. I'm very safe to quote the prophet in your midst. The world is again falling apart. Paragraph 111. Brother says, Einstein said, I was listening to a lecture of him here the other time. He was talking about a constellation, a little galaxy. He said, if a man started through space, traveling at a speed of a light, and he says, what is that? Here it says, someone says 186,000. And Brahman says 186,000 miles per second. He says it would take him 150 light years to get there. And he found eternity. Then said, to come back, it would take him another 150 million years, which would be in total 300 million years. And the space that he was gone from the earth would only be 50 years. 300 years here is equivalent only to 50. When Einstein speaks about eternity, he speaks about space. 300 years here on earth is equivalent to 50 years in space. Then if that is the case, how much more if you go further than where Einstein saw? And when you go, you don't need a spacecraft. To get there, you don't need a spacecraft. What you need to get there? You need the revealed word of your hour. Einstein got there by spacecraft. You're going to get there by the revealed word of the hour.
Amen.
And Brother Branham comes, he tells us that heaven is not far, it's just a breath away. And actually, when we are here, heaven is here.
Amen.
When you die, you just slip from one dimension to another dimension.
Amen.
It doesn't take long. In a split of a second, you are there. Are you with me?
Amen.
I hope we are together. I'm running ahead of myself here. Let me do this. Now, let's go. I was still there on eternity. Now, we say forever and ever is a long time beyond our comprehension, but it is still limited. So, God will last beyond forever and ever. Everything else won't, except for those who live in God through Jesus Christ. These people will last forever and beyond forever. There are people this evening that I'm preaching to. They will last forever and beyond forever. Hallelujah. We are the only people in the history of humankind that can promise the people when we preach to them that some of the people in our midst, they don't even need a grave.
Yes,
some people don't need a casket.
Yes,
yes, some will need it, but some will change in a split of a second. Are you still with me? Now, forever is a long time, but with God, forever is nothing compared to his existence. Now, when God, this is my notes, I'll come to the prophet. When God existed out of time, space, he was called Elohim. I don't know whether is it a bedroom or what, brothers. When God existed beyond time, space, hallelujah, he was. Amen. Just a sec. Just help the brothers here with something. Amen. Are we together?
Amen.
When God existed out of time space, he was Elohim. But when he confined himself into time, he was called Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When he was out there, out of time, space, he's Elohim. What does Elohim mean? Self-existing one.
Amen.
What is happening? Self-existing one goes further. And I've given an example many a time. That this pulpit in this church, before it was a pulpit, what was it? It was a wood. Before it was a wood, what was it? It was a trunk of a tree. Before it was a trunk of a tree, what was it? Before it was a seed, what was it? An atom. Before it was an atom, what was it? A thought. Before it was the weight. Before it was the weight, what was it? A thought. So that means God thought it. God spoke it. It became a seed. It became an atom. From an atom, it became a seed. From a seed, it became a tree. From a tree, it became a wood. From a wood, it became a pulpit. I can trace it back. Why? Because it is not self-existing.
Yes,
but God, there was no one before God.
Yes,
God is not created.
Amen.
This, you will never be able to comprehend that. But God was not created.
Yes,
hallelujah. What does it mean? God has no beginning of days. God has no ending of days. God is eternal. Hallelujah. And if God is eternal, Brother Branham said there are people that rotated of God. He doesn't use the word created. He says they rotated of God. What does it mean to rotate out of something? That means you share the same attributes of the very thing that you rotated off from. So that means if God is eternal, you are eternal this evening. Are you still with me?
Amen.
I want to come to that. When God existed out of time and space, hallelujah,
Amen.
When God existed out of time and space. He was Elohim. But when he was confined, when he confined himself, he was not confined, he confined himself. And actually, we can use the phrase that the prophet uses, God bathed himself. Hallelujah. He says, that great Elohim, he condescended and formed a cell. And from that cell, he created a body. From that body, he entered that body. And from that time, he was now bottled in time. That means eternity was now trapped in time. And as it was with Jesus, this evening, there are people in them, eternity is trapped in time. And as much as one time eternity broke out of the body of Jesus, there are people one day eternity will break out of them. What is happening, Brother Roman says, as you come to church, it is weight upon weight. He says, around that weight, a weight body is being formed. Are you still with me? Let me confuse the theologians even further. You know, we message people, we've got our own language. Amen. Jesus was God in time, and Christ was God in eternity. Hallelujah. Hope you say amen because you comprehend what I'm talking about. Jesus was God in time. Christ was God in eternity. Why I always want to, not to separate, but to bring a distinction between Jesus and Christ. Because if you grasp that, then you have grasped the mystery of Godhead. Amen. If you can grasp that the body was not God, but yet God was in the body, and without the body, you cannot encounter God.
Amen.
I don't know whether did I make myself clear. Are you still with me? Brother Brown says Jesus was born, but he says Melchizedek was not born. He says Jesus had a mother, but Melchizedek did not have a mother. But yet that Melchizedek, for you to accept him, the vehicle that he comes to you is Jesus. If you reject Jesus, you reject Melchizedek. That's why he says, I have come in the name of my Father, and they have not accepted me. Who came in the name of the Father? The Son came in the name of the Father. But the Father and the Son are not two people. It is two offices during a redemption process. Christ was never born. Christ never died. No wonder your prophet comes and says, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He doesn't say Jesus. He said Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And he asked the disciples the question, who do men say I am? Some say you are Isaiah, some say you are Elijah, but he said, who do you say I am? Then he says, Peter says, thou art Christ. Where does he? And Paul comes and says, we no longer know him after the flesh, but we know him after the spirit.
Amen.
You and I don't know him after the flesh. We know him after the spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And your prophet comes further. This message is very rich. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Spiritual food in due season. He says if he comes looking like Hoffman's at the age of 33 with blood oozing out of his body, I will not accept him. He says, no, no, no. Why? Because at that day, you will know that I am in the Father, fatherhood.
Yes, sir.
The Father in me, sonship.
Yes, sir.
I in you, body ministry.
Yes,
I don't know. Are you following, people?
Yes,
no wonder the prophet comes and says, the word Christ means an anointing.
Yes,
and in a message, the unveiling of God, he says the anointing, it is a person. He doesn't say it is a body. He says it is a person. Hallelujah. Which person? Which person? This is my son. This is my beloved son. In whom I am pleased to dwell in. That I was an anointing. And today, that I must come into you. I say that I must come into you. Which I, the same I that came into the body of Jesus, tonight that I must come into you. Who is that I? The great I am. Elohim himself. Do you get it? Jesus had a beginning. Jesus had an end. Jesus was born. Jesus died. And Brahman said, you can never kill God. Amen. Amen. Are you still with me? Amen. Now, Brother Brahman, just to confirm what he says in the message, Mary's belief. You don't have to look for it, my brother. I'm going to run quickly. All of God was bottled up into one man, Jesus Christ. All of God was bottled up in one man, Jesus Christ. Are you still with me? Yes. Question and answers, he says, God was bottled and confined in one man, Jesus Christ. But he says today, he is not confined, he is bottled in the universal body of Jesus Christ. Are you with me?
Amen.
Let's just read another quotation here in the message, question and answers, paragraph 23. He says, I've got a beautiful picture in mind now. What did I say on Sunday? Brother Brenham didn't just go into the study and with a highlighter, read the scripture, read that book. No. There was a prophetic channel that opened.
Amen.
And he was able to look, because a prophet, while he's in current time, he can see what happened 2,000 years ago. That is why when people came on the podium, he would say, sister, there is something that happened in your life 40 years ago. God is not bound by time. Are you with me? He says, I've got a beautiful picture in mind now. If you can take a trip with me, I believe I've talked on it before, but to get this to the place where you will be sure to see it, he said, let's take a trip, a little trip, and go back for a while. Now, don't think about how hot it is. Don't think about how late it is. Let's get our minds right on what we are talking to about and think now. He says, let's go back 100 million years before there ever was a star, moon, or anything. This is an invitation. And if somebody say, I invite you to do something, that means they believe you've got the ability to do that. He is inviting the church that let us go back 100 million years before there ever was a star, moon, or anything in the world. That means you, this evening, you can go to the spot where there was never the earth, there was no earth, there was no planet, because your place of origin, it is not located somewhere in space, it is eternal. Are you with me? Now, there was a time when there wasn't nothing here. It was just all forever and eternity. And all of ever and eternity was God. He was there in the beginning. Now, let's go out here on the edge of this banister and look over and see things happen.
Amen.
Folks, this is current time. He is inviting you and say, let us come and stand on this edge of this banister and let us see things happen. There are certain things that we can never make you understand unless you come on the edge of this banister and see things happen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
As I've said many a times, there's no way that anyone could ever be able to comprehend the revelation of Jesus Christ and the Godhead without you being part of that Godhead.
Amen.
Why am I saying that? I've said, I've given examples many a time that if I understand now our country has been chosen to be the or our president has been chosen to be the chairperson of the African Union. Now, I've given an example. If we were to ask Cyril Ramaphosa and say, write to all the nations that are affiliated with the African Union, and you tell him that you bring all the letters to me, he is going to write it to all 54 nations of Africa, and he has to include South Africa. So it has to be Cyril writing to the president of South Africa. But if you don't know Cyril, you would think that it's two people speaking. Because he's speaking, he's writing in his capacity as the president of the country, South Africa, or he's writing in his capacity as the chairperson of the AU, writing to himself as a president of South Africa. But when you get a hold of the letter, you are going to think it's two people. But when you are a citizen of the country, you will know that, no, my president in his capacity as the chairman of the AU wrote it to himself in his capacity as the president of the country. Amen. So when the psalm says, the Lord said unto my Lord, if you were not there, you're going to crack your head. Because you and I, because of the citizens of heaven, we know that it was the office of the Son and the office of the Father speaking, but it is the same person. Amen. Now he says, let's go out here on the edge of this banister and look over and see things happen. Now, no man has seen the Father at any time. Folks, you need to understand the operative way today. It is anytime. No man has seen the Father at any time. It doesn't say no man has seen the Father at all. It is confining not seeing the Father to time. That means there is a certain space where you can see the Father. But it will not be in a time environment. It will be an eternal environment. Amen. Doesn't the scripture say, the children of the Most High God have beheld the face of the Father? But here he says, no man has seen the Father. But if you are just reading the Bible like a newspaper, you're going to say, there is a contradiction. It depends where they were looking at the face of the Father. It was in eternity, but in time, no one has seen the face of the Father. And what is time? Your body. This body can never see God. But within you, you've got a body that is not bound by time. It can see God. Amen. Because why? You are a dual being. One part of you is time. Another part is eternity. Isn't so? Amen. No man has seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in the bodily form. That means with your naked eye, you cannot see God. But with your supernatural eye, you can see God. Hallelujah. With the naked eye, they saw William Branham. But with the supernatural eye, we saw Malachi 4. With the naked eye, they saw Jesus. But with the supernatural eye, Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Two people can look at the same thing and come to different conclusions. It depends whether you use the naked eye or the supernatural eye. Two people can hear the same message but come to different conclusions. One can hear the message and leave and say, no big deal. But another one can hear the same message and leave and say, oh God, have mercy on me. And right there, they get ushered into eternity. Are you still with me? Now he says, I hope you are reading with me there. God, because God is not in body form. God is a spirit. Wasn't Jesus the body? Hallelujah. But the spirit that was in Jesus was God. Hallelujah. Are you not the body? But the spirit that is in you, it's an inner man. Paul says, when you look at us outwardly, we become old. But when you look at us inside, we get renewed daily. Why? We are a dual being. How can you become as you age, but yet you become young? What an oxymoron. All right. No man has seen the Father, but the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. Now notice here. Notice now, there is nothing. There is just space. There is no light. There is no darkness. There is nothing. It just seems nothing. But in there is a great supernatural being. Amen. If you travel hundreds of billions of years backwards and you come to a spot where there is nothing, no light, no planet, no star, but brother, let me say, wait a minute, right there is a supernatural being. Amen. Jehovah God, who covered all space of all places at all times. He was from everlasting. He is the beginning of the creation of God. He is not the creation. He is the beginning of the creation of God. You'll get what he means. That's God. Can't see nothing. Can't hear nothing. Not a move of an atom in the air. Not nothing. Not no air. No nothing. But yet God was there. That was God. Let's watch for a few minutes. No man has seen that now. That's the Father. That's God the Father. Notice then, after a while, I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form like a little halo. Where is that halo? The same one that you see on the prophet's head. Hallelujah. It began from that great being. He began to form into a little halo or something. You could only see it by spiritual eyes. These things, you cannot see them by naked eye. You can see them by spiritual eyes. Look now, while we are looking, the whole church now, we are standing on a great big banister watching what God is doing. We'll get right down to this question and you'll see how he brings it in. Now, no one has seen God. This is amazing. One woman, it says, are you looking? There is God. Then one woman says, no one has seen God. It's not a contradiction because he's speaking to a mixed audience. Others cannot see it. Others can see it. The Greeks came and said, we would like to see Jesus. Brother Bram said, they saw a man. But he said, the Samaritan woman looked at the same man and said, sir, I perceive that thou art the prophet. How? One looked by the natural eye, another one looked by the spiritual eyes. Are you still with me? Now he says, no one has seen God. Are we together? Now, the next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little white light forming out there. What is that? That is what that was called by Bible readers, logos. The anointed. And this evening I can say, Christ. But yet Jesus was not born. Now, from this great being, then there is a light coming out, a sacred light. Brother Bram say it's a halo. And now, Brother Bram goes further and say, it was not the second person. He says it was God moving from the invisible form, coming to a visible form, to give the people some type of an idea of who he is. He says, that's exactly what he says. He says, as I was going to say, the part of God began to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea what it was. That a little light moving. That was the word of God. Now, John, do you see something here? Moses says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. William Branham said, let us go back before there was the Word. Let us look at this great being called Elohim. And it says, out of him came a halo, which was the pillar of fire. And it says, out of that pillar of fire, it was God coming into the visible form to give the people some type of an idea. It's not a second person, but it is the same deity condescending. Are you still with me? I hope we are together. Now, the reason the priest, this is in the message, the future hope. Abraham says, the priest, the reason he rejected Jesus is because he had learned of it by what had happened. But it says the Samaritan woman had a representation. Amen. Are you still with me? Yeah. Why Brother Abraham is bringing the representation? And I've shown you a graph the other time. When he was Elohim, if you are a genuine son or a daughter of God, listen, we're not here to make people the children of God. We can't do that. The weight is just here to trace you who you are. This is already a done deal. Are we together? Those that are of God will respond to the call of God. And those that are not of God will not respond to the call of God. I can preach until I'm blue in the face. But if you are not considered in that, you will never respond. The reason you responded in you is because you are part of that picture. Now, when he was Elohim, this is eternity, folks. When he was Elohim, if you are a genuine son or a daughter of God, you were there in an attribute form. When he dropped down and became the Logos, you were there as a theophany. Do you want the scripture for that or a quotation for that? Abraham says the Logos has got a wife. The wife is the bride. And if you are a bride member, you are part of that Logos. And if the Logos is the theophany, you are the theophany. And it says further that then that Logos, that pillar of fire, became a man. Now, when they became a man here on earth, he was a man walking around the shores of Galilee. Now, on the other side, you have the Samaritan woman that was running around with men. Then they met at the well of Jacob. When they met at the well of Jacob, it was not the first meeting. It was the second meeting. The first meeting happened in eternity. Then the second meeting happened at the river, at the well of Jacob. Hallelujah. You are not hearing this message for the first time. You are hearing it for the second time. The first time you heard it in eternity, and now you are hearing it for the second time because it's bringing you back to your ought to be condition. Amen. But when you looked at the Samaritan woman, even in your wildest dreams, you would have never thought that this is a sister. It would have never crossed your mind. But look, when they now met at the well of Jacob, then they're beginning to converse. As they are conversing, Brother Abraham say he was trying to get in contact with her spirit. Are you still in contact with her spirit? Not the body. Other men, they got in contact with the body. But this one went beyond the flesh. Other religion, they came in contact with your body. But this one goes beyond your body. And when they met there, look what happened there. Because when he was Elohim, she was an attribute. When he became the pillar of fire or became the Logos, she was the theophany. And when he became flesh, she became flesh. But because there is a place from which he can trace her back from, that's why she was traceable. Then he says the priest was not an attribute, was not a theophany. He was just flesh, no representation. That's why the priest, no matter how holy he was, he could not recognize the Messiah. When he came, he called the Messiah a Beelzebub. Are you with me? Amen. Do you get where I'm going? That these things, they have happened before, and they are happening again to bring you back to where you were before. Amen. Paul says, when I speak about a man and a woman, I speak about Christ and church. In the message, Kinsman Redeemer, paragraph 47, he says, when a man loves a woman, don't think it on romantic terms here, just think about it as Christ loves the church. When a man loves a woman and marries her because she's just pretty, there will be an end to it. But when a man finds a woman that he loves and doesn't know why, but he loves her. And she finds a man that she loves, no matter what he looks like, he loves her, she loves him. That's an eternal mate in glory. Are you with me? Death, no, nothing else can separate them. If Christ finds you, loves you, and there is no reason attached to it, and you love him, and there is no reason attached to it, and you love each other unconditionally, it is an eternal mate in glory. And it says, death or no, nothing else can ever separate them. Death will never separate you from Christ. Nothing else can separate them because they are from eternity and they stepped out into the space of time and will return back to eternity. Eternity has dropped down in a body called time. This evening, eternity has dropped in a body called time. Your body is time, but within your body, there is an eternity. Then it goes right back up into eternity. It cannot perish. Are you with me? Serpent said, I'm working towards closing paragraph 82. It says, now I want to ask you, who is this? He calls Job, chapter 27, verse 38, when he said, where was you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Stay with me. In the very spoken word to the serpent seed, just go right at the beginning of the prayer that Brother Brandon prayed. As he's praying, he quotes the very same scripture and says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. And Brother Ram right there, he utters a profound statement. He said, how do we know that it was at the very hour when the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world? What does it mean? There was Calvary before there was a natural Calvary. Amen. Who were those sons of God that were shouting for joy? I've got an answer. It's us. Amen. I believe I was there. Amen. Hallelujah. Shouting for joy before the foundation of the world. Now, here's a question. If I praise God before the foundation of the world, do you think this clay of flesh is going to stop me? Do you think if I worship God before the foundation of the world, this dust will stop me? This dust will never stop me. I was a worshiper before I came into the body. This evening, as we're working towards closing, all your stresses, all your confusions, all your pressure points relate to this body. But if you can realize that before the body, I was there, then look, a creature of eternity, listen to me. Do not be disturbed by what happens in time if you are a creature of eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. What happens in time stays in time, as they say. What happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. What happens in time stays in time. Yes. But you are not time bound. Amen. Folks, I'm preaching to some people that are not time bound. Hallelujah. They are not limited by matter. They are not limited by time. They are not limited by space. This evening, some of you, you go higher even where Einstein could even dream that, even in his wildest dream, he never thought he could reach. You, by faith, you have reached there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Who were those sons of God that were shouting for joy? And Jesus, when he was with the disciples, told them that, I had joy with you before the foundation of the world. Brahman said, we are not creatures of time. I will repeat that. We are not creatures of time. That means time must never dictate to a son or a daughter of God. Now, if you are not a creature of time, Why do you allow things that happen in time affect your worship when your worship began in eternity? Do you see why Paul caught the mystery and said, what can separate us from the love of God? What is it? Can it be hunger? Can it be persecution? Can it be separation? Can it be whatever it may be? There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Because what? We are attached to the love of God because love is God and God is eternal.
Amen.
We are not creatures of time. We are creatures of eternity. There are people that are a production of Genesis 3. But you were there before Genesis 3. Hallelujah. I hope we are together. Okay, this is the last quote, then I release you. A message, who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 69. He says, but look, clearly makes it clear. You will never, or maybe this even just to bring up to speed those that may not know. As I'm speaking to you, what happens? Before you hear my word, what happens? As I speak, what happens before I speak? I do what? Or why is it so complicated? Well, before I speak, what do I do? Oh, okay. I was getting worried that maybe you think I'm not thinking before I speak. Okay. So, before I speak, I think. And after I've thought, then I speak. Then my weight is what? It is expression of my thoughts. That means I think it, then I speak it, then you hear it. Are you with me? Now, if I was to reverse the weight to back to where it was supposed to be what? A thought. That means if I never spoke it, you cannot return it back to. But if I spoke it, you will be able to return it back to. If you are the spoken word, if we return you back, you will be the word. And if we return you back further, you will be a thought. The real believers are the thoughts of God expressed.
Amen.
And brethren say, if you were a thought, nothing will prevent you from becoming the word. Hallelujah. I say nothing will prevent you from becoming the weight. Why? Because your origin, you are the thought of God. You come from the mind of God. No one in the end time, brother, will say, let us go back at the back part of the mind of God. What is happening? Why is he going there? To tap into the thoughts of God. And in one message, it says, you are the very thoughts of God made manifest. Hallelujah. So what is happening? In the beginning was the weight. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. If you need to reverse the process, that means the Word must go back and be with God. It means the Word must return back and be God. Are you still with me? Now, if your origin, your source of life is that way, this evening I can say, in the beginning you were with God. And you were the weight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You were the weight. How many believe that they were the weight?
Amen.
And the weight was what? God. And the word became what? Flesh. So what is happening today? The reason we are preaching the gospel. Here I need to take it further. The reason we are preaching the gospel. And this message is supposed to be one thing that makes preachers to be confident. If a preacher ever gets to a point where they understand how essential this message is, they will never attempt gimmicks. Because what is happening? I don't need, I've got no list in my book to say, this brother will go to hell, this sister will go to heaven. I've got no right to make such a determination. It is not my responsibility. My responsibility, it is to make an unadulterated word available. And when the word is made available, the word has got magnetic power. I say the word has the magnetic power. I don't care what is holding a person. The word has a magnetic power. And when the time comes for you to be magnetized to the word, and Brother Branham say it has to be an iron magnetized there. He says no other object can be magnetized. The word is hovering around the world, and that word, it is the message of the hour. And the people of the word that were with God before the foundation of the world, when that message hovers around them, they've got the magnetic power to respond to the call of God. No one can come to me unless it's drawn by the Father. You are not called by a man. I say you are not called by a man. You are not called by a preacher. You were designed that at the right time. You had to be called. Why? Because you are a product of eternity. And in our time, eternity is hovering over time. And the people that are eternal are getting back magnetized to eternity. That's why I'm saying we are on the edge. Why did you come? How did you come? There was a certain force that pulled you. Let's be honest. How many of you, the first time when you heard the message, you were really, really did not understand and you were very upset? Oh, you just understood, all of you? How many, maybe I will see with hands if that is the case. How many, the first time when you heard the message, you said, look, let's not take chances. I've got no time for this. How many? When I heard, when they were explaining what the message is, I said, look, guys, wait a minute. But despite my rejection, underneath, there was that curiosity. After a while, I say, hey, I had much go and back check on those fellas. And when I went there, a minister preached and picked up the first time I got into the message church, a guy just picked up a scripture from Revelation. As he read Revelation, I said, I need to watch where is he going to go. Because this is very complex. But the man had confidence. He began to speak about the new city. He broke up his sermon and made it to be so clear. And I said, oh goodness, is this guy from a Bible school? They said, no, he's not from a Bible school. I said, where is he from? No, he's not from here, he's a local. Then where does he get this thing from? They say, God sent a prophet. Wait a minute, I say, false prophets. I will not accept this. After a while, I came and I listened. Until one day in a convention, right there as a young boy, 13 years old, I said, I want to accept this message. Let me be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the pull? There was a magnetic power of the way that magnetized me. As much as I wanted to resist, but I kept on saying, let me come. I know a sister that many a times she wanted to come into the message. She would come 2 months and say, after a while, not come, after a while, come. And when people don't understand that, they just say, this one is playing games. She's not playing games. She's trying to come. The world is pulling. The weight is pulling. But ultimately, those that us that understand the play of these two forces, we know that the weight has never been defeated. At the right time, she's coming in and she's coming to stay. God bless you richly as we stand up. Amen. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, know him, not a church, not a pastor. Know him. To know him is life. Now they may regard you as Mr. So-and-so or Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so, but the day the soul leaves the body, you get addressed as a body. Amen. Have you fetched the body? When is the body arriving for funeral? When are we burying the body? Why? Because you are no longer in the body. You are not the body. You stay in the body. So don't let this flesh control you. This one loves sin. But allow the one that is in to take the preeminency. The inner man will lead you to the right, on the right path. Amen. Let's just say, be still and know that I'm God.
Take your burdens to me there. Leave me there. One more time.
Eternal Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We are so grateful, Lord, that we can hear something like this tonight, Lord. Our hearts, Lord, are so glad, Lord, that there's something within us, O Lord, that's crying out more and more for you, O Lord God. We're so grateful, Lord, that in the beginning, Lord, you were the Word, O Lord, that there was the, you were the Word, O Lord, and the Word was made flesh, O Lord God. And Lord, we took a prophet, O Lord, to show us where that flesh is, O Lord. And we're so grateful, Lord, that we know that you are walking right with us, O Lord, even in us, O Lord God. We're so grateful for this revelation, Lord, that you've shown us, O Lord. Where can we go to, O Lord? We know that this world cannot give us anything, O Lord. We are put on this earth for a purpose, O Lord God. And, O Lord, we are returning to that which we were, O Lord God. We're so grateful, Lord, just to be able to look at you and say, Lord, I am one of you, O Lord. I'm eternal. I'm with you, O Lord God. Knowing that one day, Lord, as that big magnet comes over, Lord God, we will respond, O Lord God. But, O Lord, we just pray for those, Lord, who need you, O Lord God. Lord, we know that people are looking for you, Lord. The denominations, O Lord, they're looking for you, Lord. They want something, Lord, that they haven't got, Lord, that we haven't got, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you may move amongst them, O Lord God. Knowing that time is at end, O Lord, we just heard that we're living on that edge, O Lord. The time of the taking over, Lord, the turning over, Lord, to eternity, O Lord God. Lord, that you may visit us, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to respond, O Lord, to that quiet voice, Lord, that comes, Lord. We're so grateful for what you've done once more, Lord. We just say thank you, Lord, for the prayers that have gone out, Lord. As we heard on Sunday, Lord, it takes a prayer from the believers to bring a message like this, O Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that we needed this, O Lord God, because this flesh is causing us to doubt. It's causing us to think things that are wrong. We see the world falling apart, but we've heard a message now, Lord God, that we were there before the foundation of the world, and we just responded. We didn't respond to you, but you found us, O Lord God. Help us further, Lord, and as we think of the meeting coming up, Lord, may we get on our knees more and more, Lord God. May we just give over to you, Lord, that we may receive such wonderful blessings once more, Lord. Every one of us, may we go home, Lord, with a blessing. May we make it work on us, O Lord. May we just ponder over these things, O Lord, and your name may be praised. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. That is a song that says, shall we gather at the river? Do we know it? Just study buddy, will you help us with it? Just bring it up. We haven't sung it for a long time. Shall we gather at the river where bride and angel feet have trod with its crystal tide forever? flowing from the throne of God. Let's just start with a chorus. I don't think it will fly. Stampaya, if you can help us. Just grab the mic. Here's the mic.
Smiling on the river.
the building. Yes. How many believe that? Beautiful. One more time. Yes. Well, gather in. Hallelujah. Soon will reach. Soon. Soon. The shining river. How many believe that? Yes. Says to Brother Branham, you have preached about that place, but I don't think you understand how it looks like. Amen. Then he comes and says, friends, there is a land beyond the river. Amen. And tonight I want to say, there is a land beyond the river. One day we will meet on the margin of the river, and we will sing all the hosannas, we will worship God for eternity. Amen. Is there any song that we can leave the church?